listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Turkey offers condolences to Indonesia tsunami's victims. Tana Toraja Airport to be completed in 2019. Vice President Yusuf Kala reminds residents surrounding Sunda Street to stay alert until December 26. Now the news in detail. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Sunday, December 23, expressed his condolences to Indonesia over a deadly tsunami striking Indonesia on Saturday night. Erdogan, representing the Turkish people, conveyed their condolences to all Indonesian people at the Foreign Economic Relations Board in Istanbul. Based on the report of the Indonesian Disaster Mitigation Agency quoted by Antara News, at least 222 people died and hundreds were injured when a tsunami which was likely triggered by a volcanic eruption hit Indonesia's Sunda Strait Saturday night, December 22. The death toll may still increase as not all affected areas have been recorded, Sutopo Purwonugroho, spokesman of the National Disaster Management Agency, said on Twitter that the death toll might increase as not all affected areas had been recorded. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian plan to complete the construction of the airport in Tanah Toraja in 2019. President Joko Widodo also said the construction of the airport has begun and the airport is expected to be able to accommodate short-haul regional commercial flights. It was remarked by President Joko Widodo after attending the lovely December and Oikumene Christmas celebrations in Tanah Toraja Regency, South Sulawesi on Sunday, December 23.
Tadi saya sudah sampaikan ke Pak Bupati, ke Pak Gubernur.
I had previously told region of Tanah Toraja and governor of South Sulawesi that next year the construction of the airport in Tanah Toraja would be completed. The construction has begun approximately, it is 20-30% on progress. Next year, we will finish the construction so that it can serve regional air transport or ATR. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo added that the tourism of Tanah Toraja had special characteristics compared to the tourism of other regions. According to the president, the tourism of Tanah Toraja is highly supported by the cultural richness of the region. Therefore, President Joko Widodo hoped that the tourism sector of Tanah Toraja could be more developed when the construction of the Tanah Toraja Airport has been completed by 2019. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala responded to the tsunami striking Sunda Strait and South Lampung on Saturday night. In a press conference held at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta, on Sunday, December 23, Vice President Yusuf Kala remarked that the Indonesian government expressed their condolences to all the victims and those who were affected by the tsunami. Yusuf Kala also warned people to stay away from beaches in Sunda Strait area because based on the information of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, severe weather would still happen until Wednesday, December 26. According to Yusuf Kala, the tsunami occurred on Saturday was not an ordinary disaster because it was not followed by earthquakes. Based on the analysis of BMKG, until December 26, the weather will be severe. The extreme weather can potentially cause undersea landslide impacted by Mount Krakatoa eruption. Vice President Yusuf Kala moreover added that currently the joint team consisting of the Indonesian military, police, as well as other related institutions had been situated in the disaster's location in a bid to provide assistance for the victims. The Vice President is scheduled to directly observe the disaster's location post the tsunami striking Banten area. However, due to the extreme weather condition, it is impossible to reach the location by using helicopter. The temporary data of command post of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, the NPB, until Sunday, December 23, at 16 Western Indonesia time, recorded that at least 222 people had been killed, 843 people were injured, and 28 people were still missing. The number of victims is likely continue to increase since the evacuation process remains ongoing. The Indonesian Navy deployed KRI Torani 860 or Torani vessel from Navy Command 1 and the Indonesian Navy vessel Sanca 815 from the headquarters of Navy Commando 3 in Jakarta. The other two vessels were dispatched from Navy base in Banten on Sunday, December 23. The Indonesian Navy also sent troops to help the management of the Sunda Strait tsunami victims. Head of Information Center at the Indonesian Army, Admiral Muhammad Zainal, in a press conference on Sunday, escorted by Antara, said that the Indonesian Navy also prepared the Teluk Cirebon 543 vessel to be dispatched to the disaster's location. The Indonesian Navy deployed a number of vessels and troops to the area affected by the tsunami as the initial stage of disaster management. Meanwhile, the Jakarta Marine Corps had deployed Task Force Unit of Quick Disaster Mitigation Reaction consisting of 100 personnel led by Commander of Marine Battalion 1, Mayor Muhammad Arifin. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, LAPAN, prepares satellite imagery of Sunda Strait region that can be utilized to support the evacuation of tsunami victims. Head of Dissemination Division at the Center of Remote Sensing Application of LAPAN have established a satellite-based fast response technology by launching Release 1 map. Escorted by Antara, Priyatna Said collaborates with the National Disaster Mitigation Agency and Banten Regional Development Planning Agency to provide information that can support the evacuation process of tsunami victims. Priyatna also said that the Release 1 map consisted of analysis about prospective area impacted by the tsunami based on the combination of satellite imagery, digital elevation model, and administration limit. Meanwhile, further information about the disaster and analysis will be featured in Release 2 map. The Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Arif Yahya, instructed all tourism promotional activities in the destinations affected by the tsunami in Sunda Strait to be temporarily suspended during the disaster emergency response period. In a press statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, December 23, Minister Arif Yahya and all board of the Ministry of Tourism expressed their condolences to all victims of the tsunami in Banten, South Lampung, and Sunda Strait area. According to Minister Arif Yahya, the disasters can take place anywhere and impact anyone. Ever since the tragedy, Minister of Tourism has been leading the coordination and management of disaster with all board of the Tourism Ministry. The last item, Director General of Small Medium Enterprises at the Indonesian Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsi, said that during 2018, as many as 111 small and medium enterprises had utilized the Machine and Equipment Revitalization Program, which is expected to produce competitive products in a bid to fulfill the necessity of domestic and export markets. Gati Wibawaningsi in her press release in Jakarta on Sunday, as quoted by Antara, said that from 111 SMEs which received the Machine and Equipment Revitalization Program, 34 of them came from East Indonesia, such as North Luwu Regency in South Sulawesi and Tojo Una-Una Regency in Central Sulawesi, which is popular for its essential oil. Gati Wibawaningsi affirmed that the recipients of the program were not only centralized in Java, but also other regions across the archipelago. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Turkey offers condolences to Indonesian tsunami victims. Tanah Toraja Airport to be completed in 2019. Vice President Yusuf Kala reminds residents surrounding Sunda Strait to stay alert until December 26. That was the news.
Listeners, this is Commentary with me, Amanda. Indonesia was hit by another disaster not long after the earthquake in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, and in Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. Tsunami in Sunda Strait hit Banten and South Lampung provinces on Saturday. Until Sunday, there were 222 people died, approximately 843 wounded, and 30 missing in this disaster. The tsunami damaged many buildings and infrastructure. Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG, had confirmed that the tsunami was caused by volcanic activity and eruption of Mount Anak Krakatau that had been seen since Saturday evening. This condition had been warned and the volcano was given alert status since June 2018. The activity of Mount Anak Krakatau keeps increasing since June 18, 2018. The previous months, from July until November, eruptions keep happening. The latest one was on December the 22nd, which was suspected to cause the dreadful tsunami in Banten and Lampung. The tsunami, killing hundreds, had become a global concern. Some foreign media reported this disaster. Condolences and sympathy kept coming from some world leaders. Series of disaster actually never makes Indonesia weak and desperate. Disaster should be faced, overcome, and seen simply as a divine trial, so Indonesians can be more stronger in facing greater challenges. We could see the Japanese who turn into an advanced country despite of the frequent earthquakes. Disasters which often hit Indonesia must be a lesson for her to avoid and anticipate them. Indonesians must stay alerted and ready to face the possibility of other disasters. Among others is by having simulations so that people will know what to do during disasters. Besides that, proper early warning system must be ready so that both the people and local government can be alerted and save themselves before the disaster happens. This is expected to lower down casualties in disasters. That was Commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We start our segment with information on December the 24th, 1906. On this day, Reginald Fessenden aired the first radio broadcast from Brand Rock, the United States. Reginald Aubrey Fesson was one of the most important figures that contributed to the development of radio technology. He was an inventor of radio, physician, engineer, and professor. Due to his inventions and experiments, on 24th of December 1906, he successfully aired the first radio broadcast from Brand Rock, the United States of America. Thank you. The second information is about Tangiwai disaster on 24th of December 1953. The Tangiwai railway disaster happened on December the 24th, 1953, when the Wanggaihu River Bridge collapsed beneath an express train heading from Wellington to Auckland, New Zealand. It happened in Tangiwai, which is the center of New Zealand's South Island. The locomotive of the first six wagons slipped into the river. The incident killed 151 people. Investigation board reported that the incident was caused by the collapse of Tepra Dam, which located near the bridge. The disaster is one of the most terrible railway disasters that ever happened in New Zealand. The last information is about the hijacking of Indian Airline flight number 814 on December the 24th, 1999. Indian Airline flight number 814 was a flight heading from Tribhuvan International Airport in Kathmandu, Nepal to Indira Gandhi International Airport in Delhi, India. The plane was hijacked by five Pakistani citizens on December the 24th, 1999. After landing in Amritsar, Lahore, and Dubai, the plane hijackers forced the plane to land in Kandahar, Afghanistan. The hijackers released 27 out of 176 passengers in Dubai. However, they killed one of the passengers and hurt the others. The plane hijacking lasted for 7 days and ended finally when India released three militants named Mustaq Ahmad Zargar, Ahmad Omar Shahid Sheikh, and Maulana Masood Azhar. That was Today in History. Thank you for joining us.
Untuk berduka dan ada waktu untuk tertawa untuk segala sesuatunya ada waktunya Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila. Only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on Indonesia officially controls 51% of Freeport shares. Indonesia through PT Inalum Persero officially became the majority shareholder of PT Freeport Indonesia. President Joko Widodo said in a press statement in Jakarta on Friday that this ownership will be fully used for the prosperity of the Indonesian people, ensuring that PT Inalum has paid in full the purchase of 51.23% of PT Freeport Indonesia's shares worth $3.85 billion. In addition, all the issues related to the environment and smelter that had become obstacles have been resolved and agreed upon. The head of state asserted that income from taxes and royalties will certainly increase. No less important, the Papuan people also get a share of the various benefits that will be obtained. Communities in Papua will also get 10% of the existing shares. Papua will also get its regional tax. In accordance with the head of agreement, Inalum paid $3.85 billion, or around 56 trillion rupiahs, to Freeport McMoRan Incorporation to become the majority shareholder of the mining company. With the agreement, Indonesia now has control over proven and probable reserves in the company field, which is roughly valued at 2,400 trillion rupiahs. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that she would try to ensure greater state revenues from PT Freeport Indonesia after the process of transferring the majority shares or divestment to PT Inalum Persero Mining Industry was completed. Tax revenues and non-tax revenues were greater for the country, regardless of the value of copper and gold prices. Sri Mulyani explained that the overall component of tax and non-tax revenues would use Article 169 of the Law on Mineral and Coal Mining, namely that state revenues must be greater. He explained that the scheme, that kind of thing, is able to provide certainty in terms of acceptance to the states. Meanwhile, the CEO of PT Freeport, McMurran Richard Atkerson said that his party is targeting to complete the construction of a smelter in 5 years. After meeting President Joko Widodo at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Friday, he said he was building a smelter according to President's expectations. According to Richard Atkerson, the collaboration had a positive impact on Indonesia and PT Freeport. He thanked the Indonesian government for a joint solution. In addition, he explained that he would start mining openly. He also explained that he had a dialogue with President Joko Widodo regarding the development of mining operations and the addition of jobs as well as better management of the natural environment. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Indonesia officially controls 51% of Freeport shares. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a segment featuring information about arts, culture, and tourism. In today's edition, we will take you to Tombak Sulu Sulu in North Sumatra. Stay tuned! Listener, Tombak Sulu Sulu at Marbun Village, Bakti Raja Sub-District, Humbang Hasundutan Regency, North Sumatra, is believed to be the birthplace of an Indonesian hero named Raja Sisingamangaraja VIII. The site deserves to be acknowledged as a cultural heritage because it is the historical footprint of ancient civilization. In addition, Tombak Sulu Sulu has many aspects related to social, culture, history, which is represented through the figure of Sisingamangaraja and geopark tourism. Listener, Tombak Sulu Sulu is a small forest located in Bakti Raja Sub-District, Humbang Hasundutan Regency. Tombak in Bataknis language means forest. Meanwhile, Sulu Sulu means torch. The place is called Tombak Sulu Sulu because it is a forest which has lush trees located in the middle of a village. In addition, according to local mythology, there used to be a place within the forest that was believed to be the hiding place of Raja Sisingamangaraja in the past time. The small forest located on the sandstone hill in Negeri Bakara, the name of the region, is composed by various trees and vegetations. One of them is Hau Sangka Madiha tree. Based on the local legend, there used to be a lake called Aik Manuruk in this forest. However, the lake has dried now. In the middle of the forest, there is a rock cave that is believed to be the location where Raja Sisingamangaraja performed a ritual called Martongo, or making prayers or supplications and meditations. Listener, Tombak Sulu Sulu, which is located in Bakti Raja Sub-District, is not only the cultural heritage that can be explored in this region. Besides Tombak Sulu Sulu, visitors can also visit other historical sites left by the Sisingamangaraja Empire, such as burials, bath, palace, and traditional houses, which have been well preserved until present time. Bakti Raja Sub-District is located 22 kilometers away from Dolok Sanggul, the capital of Humbang Hasundutan Regency. The regency can be accessed from 5 to 6 hours from Medan, the capital city of North Sumatra Province. visitors can witness the remarkable panorama of Lake Toba from all directions when coming to Humbang Hasanrutan Regency. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Tombak Sulu Sulu in North Sumatra. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics.
Voice of Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Pukul Berapa or What Time? Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about pukul berapa or what time. At Joko's house, Tony and Dinda are discussing about Tony's experience when he watched sunset at the top of Borobudur Temple.
Kemarin dari hotel pergi ke candi pukul berapa?
Kira-kira pukul 4:30 pagi. 30 menit kemudian saya tiba di puncak candi Borobudur. Pukul 5 lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. Indah sekali.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kemarin dari hotel pergi ke candi pukul berapa? Kemarin dari hotel pergi ke candi pukul berapa? In English, what time do you leave from hotel to the Borobudur Temple yesterday? Pukul 4:30. Pukul 4:30. In English, at 4:30. Kira-kira. Kira-kira. About. 30 menit. 30 menit. 30 minutes. Tiba. Tiba. In English, to arrive. 30 menit kemudian, saya tiba di puncak Candi Borobudur. In English, 30 minutes later, I arrived at the top of the Borobudur Temple. Pukul 5 lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. Pukul 5 lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. In English, at around 5 o'clock, the sun came out from behind the mountains. Indah sekali. Indah sekali. In English, very beautiful. In the dialogue between Tony and Dinda, Dinda asks Tony about at what time he left for the temple. Tony answers kira-kira pukul 4:30 pagi. Or in English, about 4:30. The word 4:30 in the morning has the same meaning as 4:30. There are some expressions that can be used to mention the time, such as pukul 4 lebih 30 menit, or 30 minutes past 4. Pukul 4:30. 4:30. Pukul 4:30. Half past 4. In an informal conversation, the word minute or minutes is sometimes not mentioned. Then Tony said, 30 menit kemudian saya tiba di puncak Candi Borobudur. In English means, 30 minutes later, I arrived at the top of the Borobudur temple. From Tony's expression, we can see another way to mention the time by saying duration of time, then followed by the word kemudian or sebelumnya, such as saya pergi pukul 6. 20 menit kemudian, saya tiba di sana. In English, I left at 6 o'clock. 20 minutes later, I arrived there. Listener, let's follow to some other examples. Saya pergi pukul 7, or I left at 7 o'clock. 1 jam sebelumnya, saya berolahraga. Or, 1 hour before, I did sport. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kemarin dari hotel pergi ke Candi pukul berapa?
Kira-kira pukul 4:30 pagi. 30 menit kemudian, saya tiba di puncak Candi Borobudur. Pukul 5 lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. Indah sekali.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music. In today's edition, we will present you Kroncong Songs by Mus Mulyadi. Let's begin with Kota Solo by Mus Mulyadi. Happy listening.
Kesenian asli
Just listened Kota Solo or Solo City, one of the cities in Central Java province, that was described in the song. The various attractions of the city of Solo are not only rivers or Bengawan Solo, but also the beauty and richness of the original art and culture which are maintained to this day. The Kota Solo song is one of the hits that was ever performed by Mus Mulyadi. Mus Mulyadi was born and raised in Surabaya City, East Java. His artistic talent grew self-taught because of the influence of his family. His three siblings chose to engage in singing. Sumiati works as a kroncong singer in the Netherlands. His brother Mulyono as a kroncong singer in Surabaya, and his brother Mus Mulyono chooses jazz and pop music. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Irama Malam.
Merayukan hati yang merenung.
the song Irama Malam by Mus Mulyadi, the song that tells about the beauty of the night accompanied by the night rhythm. Like an angel humming, the rhythm of sadness and joy alternately. Listener, during his youth, Mus Mulyadi formed a band called Irama Puspita. Together with this music group, Mus Mulyadi had ventured for 2 years in Singapore. Besides Kroncong, Mus Mulyadi is also known as a singer who brings Javanese songs. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Jauh Sudah and Betapa Hatiku. That was Music Corner for today featuring Mus Mulyadi. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa. Thank you.